This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Oh, the world of Delphi, Indiana. As the case gets closer and closer to a trial date of Richard Allen, more and more drama continues to fly, as expected it would be. Joining us to discuss, Bob Motta, defense attorney, the man who's been in the courtroom through all of these hearings, and I'm sure you'll probably be there once this thing starts up as well. What is the going on here with these latest accusations that we're seeing flying? The defense team, again, accusing investigators of lying and omitting details. A new gag order has come into place. Give me the latest of what your observations are on the circus that is this Delphi trial.
Yeah, it's the same as it ever was. You know, I was in Mexico trying to relax for 5 days, and you know, when the world explodes, I've got somebody, you know, some podcast doing a hit piece on me because of my defense position on this case. And you know, but as far as the case itself, man, it's like you said, it's a never-ending battle. And I think probably what's going on from the state side of it is they're trying to prepare for trial, mm-hmm. you know, and from the defense side of it, it's the same thing, but you've got probably one of the attorneys focusing on the mechanics of the issues that they're going to have to deal with at trial. And you've got one of the other attorneys trying to deal with the motion work that's going forward, which, as you aptly noted, you know, what we most recently have seen is the state's response to the defense's third request for a Franks hearing. They came back with, you know, a pretty strong response. They were poo-pooing the geofencing data. They were saying that it's not reliable, which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because when the state does that in a county where geofencing is something that law enforcement is using all the time, and mm-hmm. getting these cases to trial and getting convictions on this type of data, for now, the state in this case to say, well, it's not reliable. You know, it's just not something that you know, we're going to be able to use in this case that's going to be able to give the jury any kind of indication whether or not there were other people there or not, because it's not reliable. That's interesting to me, because mm-hmm. moving forward in other cases, if I'm a defense attorney handling a case against this particular prosecutor's office, I'm going to hearken back in a case where they're trying to use geofencing stuff and say, well, you just told us back here that it's not reliable. So now you're saying that it is reliable. So it's kind of it was a yeah. curious decision by the state in that sense. You know, maybe they'll try to make an argument that it's improved, that the technology is improved. I don't know, but I found it curious. So, and then response to that, you know, the defense, of course, filed their reply mm-hmm. to the state's response. And I don't know if you saw that document. It's basically a 2-page reply in a 16-page proposed court order, which is very interesting. And it's basically in like when you're talking a proposed court order, that's where either the state or the defense drafts up a proposed order that they say, hey, Your Honor, we did all the work for you. All you have to do is just sign this. If you, of course, agree to every sentiment and ruling in it. Mm-hmm. And in that, the defense is taking the opportunity to say, okay, look, you know, after I reviewed, being Judge Gull, the exhibits that were attached, I see that the defense was telling the truth about Tony Liggett lying about what one of the witnesses, Sarah Carbaugh, said in terms of what this person she saw was wearing. He was not wearing a blue jacket. He was wearing a tan jacket. She did not say that he was bloody. I also reviewed so it's like they go through line by line
yeah.
in order to kind of put it on the judge, that the judge has reviewed the video and they're trying to say, look, everybody, the things that we said in our first Franks memo is all true, because now the judge has looked at the exhibits and she's confirming it, even though she denied it. So it's a really interesting play. I am sure that Judge Gull was furious with that. And I think that probably that reply was the impetus to the new gag, which we tried to get a copy of the order from the clerk, as we always do. We always email the clerk down there and say, hey, can you send us all the filings and any orders that have been entered?
Yeah.
And that is that that order is confidential, which is beyond bizarre to me. Like, I don't know how they're making court orders confidential. So I have a feeling that the new gag is incorporating that reply and in the manner in which the defense put it out there to the world. So yeah, it's just, it's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy case.
But the gag order does not apply though to the attorney for the attorneys. So it still can, like, things can be delivered at least through him a bit, which will be interesting to see, you know, what comes out that way.
Yeah, I mean, and they're like, just so people have an understanding, there's two different orders that exist. There's the gag order, which basically says that the attorneys, the actual attorneys for the trial, which are Brad Rosey, Andrew Baldwin, and then you've got Nick McClelland, and you've got Luttrell and Diener for the state. Those participants who are actually participating in the trial cannot talk about the underlying facts and evidence in the case to the press, to the media. Mm-hmm. That's what a gag order is. The protective order is a different thing altogether. And that's basically saying that this information cannot be released to anyone other than people that were approved ahead of time. So it's a protective order. It can't be put out there, not just to the media, but to anybody. So those are different things. Now, Hennessy and Kara Winicky, who both are defense bar lawyers who offered their services to come in and help, because lawyers in that state and frankly, defense attorneys around the country, myself included, were very concerned about what was going on in this case procedurally.
Yeah.
And with respect to Rick Allen's rights in this case, were they being trampled on? I felt that they were. I felt that she removed his counsel and it was completely unwarranted, and it destroyed his Sixth Amendment right to counsel. That's how I felt about it then. That's how I feel about it now. And when you're doing things like that, the long-term ramifications still may affect his trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you cast shade on the lawyers, you know, publicly in such a way that everyone knows that they were removed from the case. I mean, you could see it in social media. Social media is a macro version of what the jury pool will be.
Yeah.
So when you see all the folks that call these guys clowns and say that they're horrible people and that, you know, that the leak was their fault, and some people believe that they facilitated the leak. I mean, those things all come into play when you're talking about potential jurors, because what's to say that a potential juror hasn't seen that coverage of these two guys who now find these two guys to be not credible as attorneys and that think that everything that they're saying is a lie. So, I mean, it still affects his rights moving forward. Ultimately, if he's convicted, I assure you that will be one of the main thrusts of why he has to get a new trial, even though that they were reinstated. I think it's still going to have an impact on his trial, or potentially it could. So, you know, the case has just been a mess, and I don't know that it's got any neater after the reinstatement.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.